Hello fam, and welcome to another episode of the Barman's Barbecue, where we slay sacred cows, roast them, and serve them as they're hot.
Hi. Yes, I don't know, you guys see my ring. Yes. And some of us, we are made for this.
Oh my god.
Yes, I have a friend who has been married for some time. He was like, if he knew what I taught him about marriage before he got married, he wouldn't have made it right for the marriage.
Yeah? So he's married direct now?
Yeah. But he's glad that I came into his life.
You should see the way my wife did that to see this thing with pride.
Yeah, my soul shall make a boast in the Lord.
So you also started the podcast to say married photos?
No, I ain't doing that.
7 tips.
Yeah.
So first, you should teach us how to bag the husband.
Yeah. I think you should go and listen to Marriage and Secondosity. For what I think about marriage.
So you won't give us your direct advice and I'm keeping us okay.
I commit you to the hands of the Lord.
Yeah, old people.
Yeah, so what are we talking about, Bella? It's been a minute.
Construction. I feel like we've talked about the construction before, but okay, no, we talked about pillars of the construction.
Yeah, we talked about pillars of the construction, but yeah, I would like us to talk about deconstruction. I was with our friend Flora the other day and I called her name.
We
didn't put a surname. It's a little tracker. Yeah, so she was. The question is that, I think what was that question? First, okay, what is deconstruction? And is deconstruction. Yeah, what's deconstruction to you, Bella?
Basically, deconstruction is taking a belief and breaking it out. Not breaking it down. Breaking it down, breaking it open, breaking it. It's unfolding a belief to see, to examine why, what, when, what is this all about? Basically, why this belief, ask questions, then choose if you want to keep it or trash it.
I don't know if I really understand, but...
it's taking a belief that you have and questioning it, looking at it from all sides, and choosing if you want to still stick with it, if it's helpful to you, if it serves you, or if you trash it.
Okay, I mean, and like the word suggests, to construct is to build, then to deconstruct is to debuild.
To take apart.
Yeah, to take apart, to bring down. I think it's bringing down every stronghold. Is it 1st and 2nd Corinthians 10, verse 4, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds?
Okay.
So I feel like the pulling down of strongholds, so I feel like the construction is, so strongholds in our minds, thinking patterns in our minds that we pull down.
AKA beliefs.
Yeah, belief systems, mindsets. So I feel like that's what the construction is at its core. And I really love, I think I was listening to William Paul Young, where he talked about deconstruction from, Jesus telling that story of a man who built his house upon sand, and when the storms of life comes, the structure is not able to stand.
Yeah.
Then the wise man built his house on the rock. Rather than seeing it as two different individuals, you can see it as one person. The first one in the first half of life who built his house upon the sand, upon a foundation that when trials, tribulations, and the tough questions of life come, your belief system is not able to stand, right? What you believe will be tested through the fire, then you will now be forced to maybe rebuild, if you would rebuild.
According to Google, to construct the first definition is to analyze a text or linguistic or conceptual system by construction. The second one, which is the one, is to reduce something to its constituent parts in order to reinterpret it. I wanted to construct this myth that poverty breeds crime. I feel like people think the only thing we construct is faith, because it's like a new buzzword, which is annoying, because when a word is popular, everybody uses it to the point of... But for most of us, we've deconstructed a lot of things. I've deconstructed faith, fashion, lifestyle, work, career, and I really like to deconstruct money.
Okay. That's interesting.
Our finances, so I can be wrong with somebody. So basically, it's taking your beliefs, going deep into your subconscious. We consider it like your beliefs or your subconscious control 80% of your life, they say.
Yeah, and Paul Young's book, The Shark. You know, The Shark is a story of The Shark is represents the world on the inside, which other people and yourself can help you build. You know, so so basically entering into the inner world of your life, examining why you act the way you do, where you're looking at your story, the traumas, your experiences, your basically your upbringing.
Yes, everything.
Everything that you've picked up that has constructed you, the construct that you are, then basically deconstructing it. Yeah, taking it apart. If it needs to be taken apart.
No, you can take it apart then put it back together.
Yeah.
Okay, if it doesn't need to be. But basically, it starts with asking a question. Oh, and I so the other day on the table committee, they're saying something, which is life just doesn't stop at deconstructing. To deconstruct all days of your life is not healthy.
Yeah.
So it's always important that you reconstruct.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's just now that I'm starting my reconstruction, I'm building new rituals, I'm kidding, if I, 3 years now, I've been reconstructing. Okay, I think for my life I'm deconstructing, but I think I'm in the reconstruction phase. But I don't think it's just a phase. I think it's just something we do in life. Just when you have a back, you question things. Every once in a while, you might have to reconstruct something.
Yeah.
Like you're married now, you may have to reconstruct some things you subconsciously learned about marriage that are not going to serve you.
Yeah.
But when you become a parent, you might have to reconstruct some things.
I think, it's like a renovation.
The other day, there's something my mom used to say, and the other day I was talking about attachment theory with my friend, and I realized, I was going to practice that stuff, but I was like, this is not going to. So my mom believes if the baby is crying, it's not every time you carry the baby, so that's just leave the baby, let them cry.
Okay.
And after they finish crying, they'll shut up. And then they'll not learn that it's not, don't be crying by 3 a.m. every morning.
Mm-hmm.
But that would breed a dismissive, avoidant child.
Okay.
And I don't want my child to be dismissive, I wonder, because I am. One and I see how it is, so I want them to be secure. So I understand where she's coming from, the point that your child should not be needy, but they are children, they're meant to be needy. So that in that way, I've deconstructed that part of parenting. So basically, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, so then the question is our friend said she was asked, she was hesitant about deconstructing. So is deconstruction a thing that you can initiate, or is it a thing that happens to you?
I think it's a bit of both.
Okay.
Sometimes it happens to you and you're just forced to ask questions. Sometimes people see the questions they want to ask, because I have a friend who I ask, don't you have this question? And she's like, oh no, she does, but she doesn't ask them and she doesn't want to find out, because she feels that when she starts one, she's going to start another, and she's going to just enter into the phone call. And I understand that. And I want that for myself, but she clearly doesn't want it for herself. I want a better life, so I want answers to the questions I have, because they're important questions to have. I just don't want to be living life on an autopilot, so yeah. I want to ask those questions.
On vibes and inshallah.
Yeah. My pastor said. So sometimes you're forced to, you just yourself your situation, and you're like, why? What they said? Why am I still?
I don't know if we've talked about it, so how did yours start, your deconstruction? I don't know, you said you have been deconstructing all your life.
I do get, I was raised to ask questions, so I always ask questions, so I always deconstruct. That's what I'm saying, a lot of us deconstruct, but we don't know, it's just deconstruction.
Shifting from a legalistic or evangelical church background, or, more legalistic church system to a grace system, I feel like that's a form of deconstruction for many Nigerian-based new generation churches. Yeah, I think.
Even switching from something like a white garment setting to an orthodox setting is a form of...
Story of my life. I was never a white garment, but apparently my parents deconstructed white garments.
Construction.
Yeah, and for many of us, we are maybe just two generations away from maybe Babalawo family and rituals and all those things. So our parents must have deconstructed that style of living.
Some people are deconstructing from what they think is a Western-based religion back to the roots of of what they think is a more traditional, is a form of deconstruction.
Yeah.
Because they are asking questions like, oh, why is this better than this? Why is this like this? But our ancestors did this. So it's a form of deconstruction. But people just feel deconstruction is going to leave Jesus and you're going to heresy. Because I just feel like because people like that are more bolder about their journeys. So it's more out there. So everybody feels like, yeah, I'm about to come a heretic when you're deconstructed. I think another thing I had to learn was that both of us can be deconstructed for the same place, but we'll not all come to the same conclusion.
Yeah. And again, it's it takes me to that idea that no two people can actually go through the same thing.
Yeah.
Because of for two of us to go through the, you know, because we easily say that two people go through the same thing but they act differently. No. No two people go through the same thing because of for two of us to go through the same thing is that everything that led up to our being everything that led up to our being in that experience, it must be the same for both people.
Oh, true.
That's where we can see that they went through the same thing and they acted differently.
Oh, makes sense.
When we say that, like let's say two people see a lady wearing skimpy things in a dress from Graciano, and so one person acted, you know, maybe one way and the other one did not act one way. Like, why did this one? No, okay. Then all the abuse and the education, the indoctrination that person A experienced may not be the same thing that person B experienced.
Yeah.
So when the both of them come to that same thing, right, they are not the same people or they are not going through the same thing at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like...
And hence it will affect our decisions.
And learn our decisions and yeah. So, and that's why, again, judgment is really crazy. I mean, like, the ability to judge through judgment is for you to, like, trace everything that led up to that person making that decision at that point in time. So you don't just judge the person. You judge all his interactions, the role of the community, the role of his parents, the role of his genesis, everything that brought up to that point. And that's why I feel like, you know, maybe Jesus took all judgment to himself. That's why it's maybe offering forgiveness to everybody, seeing that it all points back to him for choosing to create the person in the first place, or for choosing to create the world.
I remember my friend was saying that it's easy to judge psychopaths on this thing, but if you're born in those same conditions that you're born and went through, you probably turn out a psychopath.
Yeah.
Also.
And so I feel like I think loss, pain, it's one major, let's say, foil or ingredient or catalyst for deconstruction. And I feel like that's what Jesus talked about with that parable of one who built his house upon the sand. So there's an idea that, okay, if you, let's say, pray and fast strong enough, long enough, powerful enough, your loved one is not supposed to die. But you did everything by the book, but you still lost a loved one. So, you know, that crisis of faith, right, will this. I feel like a lot of people, how they interpret that event can turn them into an atheist, an agnostic, or another type of believer, depending on, and I think I draw from Andre Rabi, who said that we are not the product of the events that have happened to us, we are the interpretation of the product of the events that have happened to us. So, when, so differently, like, again, so deconstruction happens, I feel like pain, suffering, loss are.
I also feel like joyful moments, because most times for joyful moments, what they do is to reinforce a belief. Like your moment of joy, you're going to reinforce. Oh, what made me feel this way? Then you're going to reinforce it.
I think that reminds me of one interesting. I must have talked about it in Rachel Hildebrand's listen, that the theologian of pain, is a theologian of unique authority. I don't know if you remember that quote. Because like that pain, like gives you, it opens up a door that, you know, someone who has not gone through that pain, and the person will not be able to understand.
Makes sense.
Let me look for it, but yeah, you can.
Makes sense.
So yeah, deconstruction. So for me, like what led to, I think my first, I mean, just being in, not being satisfied with conventional religion. Like, I mean, you're growing up in your parents' church, I see some things that you are generally not satisfied with as to how old people do their things. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, okay, why is it so long? You know, or why is the prison worship like this? You know, when you hear, you go to other churches, you see they have all the best instruments, and you come to your church, and so that longing for something else, that, you know, this is not enough, I feel like it leads us to ask questions. And then when you go, you hear other sermons from other churches, like, man, Christianity is fun, it's not all sad and, you know,
yeah,
scary and stuff. So for many people, that's the beginning of their journey.
Mm.
You know, so for me, going to the university and reading Kenneth Hagin, I mean, that's, for me, beginning of my deconstruction. With Kenneth Hagin, mm-hmm, I started seeing that, like taking scripture seriously. You know, Kenneth Hagin, then he used to go to people praying in church and ask them, he asked them, what are they praying about? So it was like he took a poll of prayer, that it was like 70% of prayers we will pray are on scripture.
Mm.
So Kenneth Hagin, then I learned from him that it's important that before you offer any prayer, you should find the scriptural backing.
Mm.
If there's no Bible verse, that's why, like, you know, your interaction with me, you know that I know lots of Bible verses, thanks to Kenneth Hagin. So then anything I want to say,
okay,
if there's no Bible verse, I'm not doing it.
Yes,
but then, you know, so I had to deconstruct a mode of prayer where we can say any aeroplane that is obstructing my destiny. So shifting from that kind of prayer to the mode where I would now find scripture as a basis to pray.
Mm.
Then also now deconstructing that, you know, from leaving behind the idea that the Bible is a member of the Godhead. You know, so deconstructing the Bible, I no longer see the Bible as the Word of God. Like, I like to say this to just cause quarrels more, that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. You know, so deconstructing my approach to the Bible as not a book that fell from the sky, that God dictated to people, right? So again, shifting from Kenneth Hagin's fundamentalism as scripture, like authority, you know, to a place where I am now back to what they might call the second naivety, where I do not, I'm in awe and wonder of scripture, but not from the place of perfection, but from the place of its humanity, its vulnerability, how the Bible does not try to defend itself, how with all the contradictions and all this stuff, just loving it and enjoying it and reading it allegorically, as it were. Yeah, so...
I remember someone was saying something, he was like, you guys, I don't know what he was saying, Sha, but I have to explain to him that for some of us, one of our pillars of deconstruction is never to do that wonder and I don't want to deconstruct to the point where I'm very logical about it. Logic is good, but I'm very 1+1=2 about everything. I still want to be
a child,
yes, wonder and awe, and surprise me, Jesus.
I feel like that's Eden. It's actually being in that place of childlike innocence, and getting kicked out of Eden is when you no longer lose that your childish element of trust, wonder, and beauty. Then returning back to Eden is when you get back to that place where you can be a child again. So Eden first is when Adam was a child. Adam leaving Eden is when he lost his childish innocence. And returning back to Eden is when we can now be children again, to trust God, to be naked and not ashamed, to be vulnerable.
So the construction is not like manifesting. So recently I've been trying to learn a lot about manifesting. And also found out that sometimes your beliefs will affect your manifestation. So it's not that you're not manifesting or doing all the things around you, it's just that there's one belief in the corner of your mind that is whether you like it or not. You cannot manifest that manifestation because this is what you believe.
Yeah.
It's like you believe like wealthy people are not good, and it's one of your core values to be good. Mm-hmm. Like, try to manifest money from here to tomorrow. You have that money because it's conflicting with who you are, and your subconscious is concerned that if you become wealthy, you'll not be an evil person. So you're manifesting, but your subconscious at the back, which is your 80%, is fighting with your... So at that point, you have to actually see that and deconstruct.
Yeah.
So whether you like... Sometimes it comes like It's like a survival skill, so to say. Mm-hmm. You have to deconstruct. But there are times where people, they fight against the construction.
I think
this is the problem for me.
I think the other thing that's necessary, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is it. So is your experience. So your experience in the world is a function of how you think in your heart. Jesus said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So if you do not reimagine what God is like or what you are like on the inside, what you are experiencing, you will keep experiencing.
Yes, experience.
Yeah. So, but that's why Scripture calls us to repent. In fact, the word repent is to deconstruct, is to change. What you think about God, you know, and I love how Baxter Kruger says it, that take sides with me against the way you see, something like that we should take sides with God, you know. Like you say, God is for you, are you for you? Right, so God is on our side, but you know, many times our thinking pattern, our religious beliefs do not serve us. They do not what that stuff that when the way of your being matches the truth of your being. So if the way of your being, if your self-perception is not in line with who you truly are, that is being love, God, beauty, grace, goodness, you know, all the awesome things of life, when the way of your being does not match the truth of your being. So deconstruction is basically ensuring that the way of your being matches the truth of your being, or as and that what you think about yourself is consistent with what God thinks about you.
And I think sometimes it's sometimes we think we know what we believe, but your subconscious and inner child has already, like, and Jacob today, we're talking about our relationship and how we had to consciously sit down and unlearn the things we picked from our childhood, which is not like it's not our parents told us, came and told us this is what this means. We just learn things from watching, and our childish man just said, okay, if you do this, that means this equals to this and that equals to that, and so we just grow up. So I think it's very important as individuals and humans to just sit down and go through those childhood experiences and everything that we've learned and deconstruct them.
I think that's the importance of the Sabbath, rest. So in those times of silence, you know, the contemplation, contemplative prayer, where we just sit down and observe the way we think.
Yeah.
Right? See, where is this thought coming from? Why do I think this way? Or where did this thought come from? Taking every thought captive. And, you know, so again, the practice of the Sabbath, the practice of contemplation, the practice of sitting beside yourself and seeing how you are thinking, and just casting all your cares before the Lord because of He cares for you.
You'd be very surprised. I got very photographed when I saw some of my beliefs. I'm like, but I don't believe that, but that was a secret to me, but I don't believe that, but...
You went for therapy?
Yes, though. I had therapy about 2 months ago.
I didn't know.
You know, I kept writing about it or something.
No, maybe I didn't see.
Oh, okay, yeah, so I had that.
And where was that? Is it like a licensed therapy or...?
Yeah, licensed.
That's so professional.
I don't even call it a therapist, but yeah, what I did was basically therapy. I kept going back.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you want to sell the person's market? Because of there are not many, professionals, people.
I think they are.
They are.
Now,
most of the people, the only people who go for to therapy is church, you know, pastors. Pastors have been counseling, you know. Do counselors pass for therapists?
No.
I mean, church.
Counseling is different from therapy.
Okay.
Counseling is, this is what you're going through, okay, this is my advice. Therapy is like you're going to sit down and go back. What she did for me in therapy is that she didn't give me any solution. She made sure I came up with my own solutions. So just how, everything you're looking for is in you. So I diagnosed myself in the end. And I got out the solutions, and I saw where our problem was. So it's better that way, because you know somebody's not telling you. If you share, you see, you use your own mother.
I think that's beautiful. So yeah, any final words or thoughts?
Embrace deconstruction. Do not run away from it. You become a heretic, I promise. Well, heretic is not a bad thing. I'm heretic. It's not as bad as people think it is.
Yeah.
Everybody does not always end up like, and everybody at some point has deconstruction.
Yeah, so at some point, we have all deconstructed. And then just like I'll end with the word repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand.
Already.
Yeah. I mean, so but it's near you or within you or it's inside you. But basically return or turn your back to face to face relationship with God.
Yeah.
So the word repent is for you to...
I mean, the other day I was like, oh, I'm so happy that me and Afate keeping hair these days. It's just delicious. And I realized, oh my God, that's a deconstruction. Because at some point they thought that women keep hair, put their fire.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
When you're growing up, do men used to keep hair? It's not like once in 100 Nigerian man. So, see, we've all deconstructed at some point, but whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
It's a human thing.
Yeah, so it's both, so the external factors can trigger it, but then it can also be a choice for such
things. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's end this one by Moya Akinoja, which is a very deconstruction.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
When the word of God stared me in the face,
I dropped my preconceived notions like hot potatoes.
I love it.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of The Barman's Barbecue. We hope we're able to provide some answers while raising more questions. It was a pleasure sharing this roasted lamb with you. Remember to rate this podcast, subscribe, and invite your friends to this feast. We love you!